Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another spring training episode of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. Tonight, we kind of have a special episode. We have never done this before. We are going to be chatting with the women of Red Sox Nation, some of the more, prominent Twitter accounts in Red Sox Nation, and just kind of get their vibe as we're, waiting for the developments of spring training to play out. Some stuff we've actually covered on the YouTube channel, Bayo and Whitlock not slated to be ready for opening day. We also talked about Connor Wong's hamstring injury and the implications that could have for Jorge Alfaro. That stuff on the YouTube channel. Go check that out. Nick and I covered that. But let's dive into this. I think it's going to be a fun episode. And let's start with Kayla. Like, what's your story in a nutshell?
Hey, everybody. So I'm from Western Massachusetts. Been a Red Sox fan my whole entire life. Currently, I'm a student for speech language pathology, and I'm a valet attendant. And been a huge fan of this show for a few years now, so I'm really excited to be on tonight.
Well, it's good to have you. Kayla and I actually interact a lot, and she sees a lot of my memes, some of which I probably would never post on my Twitter timeline. So, is what it is. But, Kayla, shares some of hers as well, and I laugh my ass off. So also joining us is Janice. And Janice, I'm going to tell you, I may as well just throw this out there. We're very similar, and I've seen people in the past, not recently, but refer to you as the female version of me, because of your you get fired up sometimes, and sometimes the homers get a little, upset, but I've always thought it would be fun to have you here, so we appreciate that. So you're from Mass, correct?
Yes, I am. My whole life, been a baseball fan ever since I can remember. I'm an only child, so my dad and I, our bonding thing was sports. I'm kind of living vicariously through him. He passed away in 2003. He never got to see them win, and he was a lifelong fan. So he was one of those people that it was a bittersweet moment when they won in 2004, and he was the first thing I thought about when that final out was made, that I wish he had made it to see it. But I have heard the rumors that we are, very similar in our takes. And I guess it comes mostly from people who don't like to hear the truth. They only want the sugar-coated version of la, 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 everything's pretty, everything's wonderful, nothing to see here. And I just can't do that. That's not the kind of fan I am. I love them when they're great. I still love them when they suck, but I'm going to say that they suck. My opinion is what it is. Do I think I'm always right? No. Does it come from my heart and not from a stat sheet? Yes, it does. And I'm not going to take when someone says I'm not a good fan. I think I'm an amazing fan because I live and die with the team, and I always feel that they should be fielding a contender. I feel like I want to win every season. And I feel like sometimes John Henry and the powers that be don't, and I say it. So if that's not popular, whatever.
I think you just summed it all up perfectly, Janice. And also, I've shared this on the podcast before. My grandmother was a huge Red Sox fan, Celtics fan as well. And she died in 2002, so never got to see it. And, and then where I've really felt the most fortunate, 2004, obviously cool, but when they won it in 2007, I logged on to ESPN after the celebration was done, and of course the Red Sox were the top story, but the title read "Twice in a Lifetime," and I just thought of my grandparents, and I wish they could have seen it. I wish they could have saw Big Poppy and how nuts Jonathan Papelbon was, and John Lester. You know, it would have been.
We are spoiled, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't want more.
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And all right. And last, certainly not least, Melissa, how are you? And where are you from?
Good. I am from Texas. And actually became a Red Sox fan. And like when I was in between 16 and 17, I dated a guy that was a Red Sox fan, and it stuck. And matter of fact, I became a bigger fan than he ever was. So, and it's kind of contagious with people that have been around me. My husband's a huge fan now. I have ex-boyfriends that have Red Sox tattoos now because they became fans. Like their family, raising their families. Like we go to games, like my ex-boyfriend and his family. And my husband and my family go to games in Houston together. Like
that's fantastic.
Yeah. It's kind of like, the community of it, the Red Sox Nation. I wouldn't call it like a cult, but it's kind of like a cult. Kind of like once you're in there and you're involved, and the community is just great. The love you get, and sometimes the hate, sometimes the fighting, the disagreements, but mostly lately on Twitter. But you know, and I'm more of the opposite of Janice. More of the I try to just always see the good and everything, which I see the truth, but I don't like to say it out loud. You know, I'm like, I'm just going to be positive. I'm going to speak it. I'm going to manifest it. You know, I don't know. That's me.
You know, from the outside looking in, I mean, we interact a fair amount on Twitter, but you know, you seem like a very safe account. You know, it just you get along with everyone, and you have I think your following is actually bigger than the Bastards account as well. Now, are you near Houston?
Yes, I'm like an hour and a half away.
Oh, gotcha. So you go to Minute Maid quite a bit, I would think. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I do. And in my whole life, I went to Astrodome when I was a kid. And so, yeah, but not to see the Red Sox, of course, because that was before I became a fan. So, yeah.
Do you ever get like verbally accosted while you're there?
I didn't until after 2017.
Oh, of course.
I actually have a video. I'll share it soon. There's a lady that is like a few rows down. This was the ALCS game 2, 2021. And she is like lower than me. And she just keeps like saying like, you know, 0-1, 0-1, like, cause they, you know, won the first game, whatever, you know, or one is whatever. She just kept going off and like saying, boo, boo, that was a foul. Like there was a whole group of Red Sox fans right there. We just met each other. We became instant friends, and we're yelling for everything. We're being loud cause it's annoying her. So we're obviously going to do it more than we were. And she ends up standing up, turning around. I have a video of it. And she just sticks her tongue out. She's like sticks her tongue out at us. And like just keeps, you know, like just bullying that whole group of people. It was great. It was awesome. But I haven't, that was the only thing I've had. My friend Christina, she's on Twitter also. She's had people throw popcorn at her. And she's from the Houston area, like, you know, south of Houston. But yeah, same thing. But until then, like when I would go years before that, everybody be like, oh man, we suck. Y'all are gonna win. Like this game's gonna suck. And you know, they would like talk nicely. Now it's not like that anymore.
See, I'm probably more positive on the Astros than most Red Sox fans because they've knocked the Yankees out of the playoffs four times. So if I went to Minute Maid, I'd kind of be the peacemaker. You know,
I used to not be like, okay, fine. I grew up. I'm okay with Astros fans, but now I live here and I have to deal with it. It's annoying. They're very annoying for the most part.
I mean,
part.
I'm with you on that, Terry.
It's ironic. The one ALCS game that I went to at Fenway in 2018 was David Price's outing against the Astros. Can you believe it? Of all people, I got the tickets cause I was part of the lottery. I got picked for the lottery. So I was able to get the tickets. And I couldn't believe it when I said he's like my least favorite person on the team. And it was him starting. But he did okay, so I can't complain. They won the game and everything. But
I remember
Melissa,
that.
That's incredible. I never would have guessed that you weren't a native Bostonian. I always thought really? That maybe just I always thought that
I
you
take
just
that as a compliment.
I'm like, no, really. A compliment. I mean, you're such a great fan that I never you. It never dawned on me. I always assumed thank that maybe you moved to Texas. So no. From here, so
no.
So yay. Yeah,
thank you. That means a lot.
And actually, real quick, because I've already kind of forgotten. Melissa, go ahead with your Twitter handle.
Oh, it's Addict Socks. So like backwards than Socks Addict. So my name is Socks Addict, but it's Addict and then Socks.
Gotcha.
I hate that. It's because Socks Addict was already taken. And that person isn't even on there anymore, but whatever. Yeah. But I've been calling myself Socks Addict since probably 2007. It's when I met like Red from Surviving Grady. And I started being his spokesperson and his like model, his clothes and now we're business partners. So,
Oh, that's cool. You do have a lot of merch, which they can probably find right on that account as well.
Yeah, it's socksaddicts.com.
Oh, okay. Good.
So, yeah.
And Janice, go ahead. Where can they find you?
At Chestnut Hell, ChestnutHell.
Okay. And Kayla?
It's at KPhil, two Ys.
All right. So let's kind of get into it a little bit, starting with Kayla. Where are you at with the Sox? Like, what's the forecast look like for you from your point of view?
Unpredictable, I think. I feel like it's a lot of unknowns right now. There's been a lot of changes. We had some people leave. We had some people join. I think it's a good thing, though. I think that you've talked about it before, Terry, where there needed to be a refresh in the chemistry. And I think that we kind of have that a little bit this year. I mean, we've seen the reports from spring training about how the vibes are good. And, you know, some of the videos that I've seen, it looks like they're happy. And I mean, I know it's just spring training, but it feels different than it did last year in a sense, because I mean, even when they were hitting home runs and doing their, you know, cart run, they didn't look happy. You know, it wasn't energetic. I don't know. I just can't put it into words. So I just feel like this year with a new group of guys, you know, they have a chance to come together and put something new together. And one thing I thought that was interesting in the beginning of camp, Core mentioned, you know, he talked a lot about how his message to everybody was that we have to be better. But then he said, at the same time, it's a different group. And one thing about the group, they don't really care about what happened last year or the year before or 2018. They care less about those guys. It's a new season. And there's a lot of good things that are happening right now. We're trying to connect, of course, in the clubhouse and off the field and all that stuff. And I think that's a good message to put out, you know, in the beginning of the season, just because it's true. Like, Justin Turner doesn't care about the drama that happened last year. He wasn't here for it, so why should he care? Neither does Adam Duvall or any of these new guys. You know, they're coming here because they want to put together a team because they want to win. I mean, they're not coming here to win, but they also don't care that those guys were moping around last year. So I don't know. I'm intrigued by it. I'm intrigued and I'm excited. I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
I'm already, you know, our two youngest starting pitchers aren't going to start the season. And, you know, the 35 and 37-year-old is like, you know, these are the guys I thought would struggle. But the vibe is different, and we'll get to that in a bit. I know Melissa wants to reference a Kike thing that came to light today. But before we do, go ahead, Janice. So where are you at with the team?
I can't believe I'm going to say this after you gave me such a great shout out about my occasional negativity, but I'm not as negative as I think I should be. Does that make any sense?
Let's hear the rest of it.
Okay. Well, I mean, I can list all the reasons what you just said about the starting pitching, all those things. I think to expand upon what Kayla just said, Kayla, sorry. A big part of what went on last season, no matter what anyone says, is Bogart's contract hanging over the clubhouse like a pall. And it bothered Devers, and it bothered a lot of the other guys that were there, and it was on everyone's mind. And we've seen this happen before. It happened with John Lester. You know, it happened with anybody that got a lowball, insulting offer from the Red Sox, anyone homegrown. The biggest problem, in my opinion, with the Red Sox, I know I'm jumping everywhere, is that they don't want to pay their homegrown talent. And that is now widely known throughout baseball. The whole Bogarts thing pretty much sealed. If anyone had any question about it, there's no question about it now. So the point is, if you get drafted with the Red Sox now, you know you're not going to get paid when your time is coming. So you know that, like they did with Mookie, they're going to take you to arbitration if they can. You'll never convince me that the reason that Mookie had a bad taste in his mouth and didn't even bother to try here is because they took him to arbitration. And, you know, what point is having a great farm system? You can have a couple of good years with a couple of good players if you hit the lottery and you get a couple of great prospects, but then you don't pay them. And then you're doing this constant rebuilding, constant scrap heap searching, constant trying to figure out what works and what you can cobble together for a team. And they think that because it worked in 2013, that that formula can continue to work for them. And the chances of that are so small. And you know what? I think a lot of fans are really just disgusted with it. This is a team, I think, as I said before, that should be able to compete and put a contender on the field every single year. Every fan should expect nothing less from Fenway Sports. They have the money, they have the fan base, they have the interest, they have everything that a team needs to invest in. They get one of the highest ticket prices every year. The park is always filled when they field a good team. And still, they keep trying to do it on the cheap ever since, really, I want to say really 2013. 2018 was an anomaly. It was really very lucky, but really since 2013, they've tried this cobbling approach and they hit pay dirt with it in 2018, but they've let everyone go. And now here we are as fans. We've just had it. I mean, I know I've just had it. I didn't pay any attention once the offseason materialized and all these, you know, the few good free agents that were available came and went without even a sniff from Heim Bloom. I just stopped paying attention. I mean, I watched one spring training game the other night that was on Nesson, and I watched Faria, whoever he is, come in and like look horrible. Like every single thing he, you know, pitched went off the bat like a bomb. It's like, where are we? But in spite of all of that, I still don't know. I still don't have as bad a feeling this year as I have in the past. And so I'm going to be hopeful that maybe this congeals and at least is a competing team. Although, I don't know. I really don't know. It all comes down really to what Chris Sale does. If Chris Sale gets injured again and Chris Sale can't pitch, we don't have Eovaldi to come in and eat innings and you know, occasionally look incredibly dominant. We don't have that. And I mean, can Whitlock do it? Can any of those guys really do it?
I'm not going to lie, Janice, I had a news alert pop up on my phone earlier with Chris Sale's name on it. And before I really looked at it, I thought it said that he was, my first thought was, this guy's already injured. We haven't even started the season. Right? But it was just that he was pitching, I think, Monday, or he's finally going to make his debut or something like that.
You know, get him some bubble wrap.
Like Red says, like, what's likely to happen? You know, like Chris Sale breaks his hand eating yogurt or something. You know?
Yeah.
It's just that ridiculous.
Yeah. I think he just hurts himself just breathing, really. But go ahead, Melissa. So where are you at with the team?
I'm kind of the same. Before spring training started, I was kind of like, what is this going to be like? But the, like Kayla mentioned about the vibes, I'm a vibe person, like, and, it's just been, been way better than it has been. And just seeing, Kike rise and become like a leader and like the face of the Red Sox right now, you know, I mean, of course a leader, and I feel like the real face is Devers, but right now Kike is kind of rising and just taken that position, and him with Turner, and just watch Casas. I love watching him and his shenanigans. I love it. He had that, you know, I feel like if they're not having fun, then, I mean, I just feel like it helps. I feel like watching these games, like the game today, made me really happy. I was in a bad mood, and it lifted my mood.
So many runs. Oh, my God.
Oh,
so
yeah. I was today. I'm really excited to see what Yoshi can do. I was, like, the first game, just seeing him out there, I was like, okay. I like the way he moved the way he just moved. I was like, okay, this could be a good thing. And so it's just, I think, as a cautiously optimistic, I have PTSD, Red Sox PTSD is a real thing. And but I mean, I've been hurt by them many times. So, but I always take them back. It's like I have what's called Stockholm syndrome. That's what, that's what I have. So, yeah, so I'm optimistic, but also not. Here's what I think. I think that I'm not going to want to die after every game this year, that I might be able to enjoy some games. That's what I think. And maybe when, like, I was thinking, like, close to 80 games. Maybe it's going to be more now. Like, but at first I was like, it's going to be under 80. But I don't know. We'll see. I'm trying to be more optimistic. But,
well, worst case scenario, they do what Kike apparently did in his pants.
Oh, yes,
in the 2020 World Series.
Yes, that was a great little video watching of him and JT talking about him 2020 taking antibiotics and yelling and sharting.
Oh my God!
During a game.
That was my God!
A beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
that will never not be hilarious.
Did y'all listen to him mic'd up today?
No,
oh, today I didn't get to see the game.
So
funny.
So him and Jared Carrabas went and did like kind of like painting with a twister. Like they drank wine and last night they and did painting. And so he was talking about that and talking about how his painting was so much better. And I think, God, what did he call himself? Kikasso or something like that. Kikasso. Oh, he's just great. God. He's a great personality. And he really has surprised me out there with some of the, like, I've seen him do some plays at shortstop, which I was a little pessimistic about him playing that. But I actually have been, you know, like, not disappointed so far with him playing shortstop. So
I was kind of excited to have him move to shortstop just because I feel like.
Well, he was very confident about it. So I was like, okay.
Yeah. And
he's more of an infielder than an outfielder, honestly. Exactly. So I think that should be kind of a natural fit. But I mean, just think about it for a minute. This is the Boston Red Sox, and they don't have a real shortstop. They don't have a real like a original, like, my first position is shortstop kind of guy. Last year they didn't have a first baseman.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, this is not how a top tier, top market baseball team with all the money that they have operates, which is why I cannot give any like credit to Chaim Bloom for anything. I just think he's done a god awful job. I hope that they prove me wrong this year. I really do. But I just listening to this, it's like, well, I'm so glad that they moved Kike to shortstop. Yeah. It's like he was in the outfield last year. Like, what is he going to do next? The clubhouse attendant? Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's just,
that's what I was, so, when I heard it, but his confidence about it, he was so excited. And I was like, and then hearing AC talk about that, the thing he was most impressed with was Kike, you know, when they were practicing, that it was seeing how well he did. And so I was like, okay, well, maybe I'll have some hope.
I gotta hope, because I just, you know, because baseball is just so important. It's just it is so important to all of us. I feel like it's just, you know, it's just a facet of life. And to, like, for the first time, like, I didn't even care. I mean, I'm going to Florida. Of course, I'm going to Fort Myers. I'm going to go to JetBlue. I'm going to see a game. But I just have no interest in going anymore. And that's never been who I am. Mm-hmm. It's never been who I am. I did go once last year. It was a work outing. And we ended up winning the game, but it was just, I was so disinterested because they were out of it at that point. They were just, you know, doing whatever. And, you know, everything was in Xander's head. And the whole team was just, you know, that the whole team was just waiting to see what was going to happen with him. And it was just really an ugly time. So I hope that, like you said, like now that there's a little bit better energy in the clubhouse, that at least the games are more fun. And
exactly, that's what I'm thinking. If at least we can watch it and maybe enjoy it, because we don't want to just, like, you know, kill ourselves or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I have a friend that's thinking about coming out because he's a Tigers fan and he's living in Denver right now, and he's thinking about coming out in August when the Tigers play the Sox here. And it was like, well, it can go either way at this point.
Exactly.
The tickets can be so cheap that the gift card that I've had for 3 years that I got for the Red Sox will get two tickets. Or
yeah, I am a glutton for punishment. I went to Fenway in September of last year, a Yankees series.
Oh, so God.
That was fun, which we actually, like, we didn't get blown out, but my friend that was with us, she's like, I'd rather just get, you know, like, beaten so bad instead of this back and forth. But yeah, it was rough, but I was just glad to be there. I had a customer that buys a lot of shirts was like, I'll buy you tickets to Fenway. And I was like, okay, let me book a flight. Let's go. So, So I didn't even, the trip was mostly, it didn't even cost me much. So like it was,
was that your first time?
No, I've been before. Mm-mm. No, I had been before.
Where do you guys like to sit? Like, do you have a favorite section when you're there?
I sat directly behind home this time, like 10 seats up, like 10 rows up. That was pretty nice. It was very nice, but.
He has a firefighter buddy who has season tickets, but they're all away in like straight center field. And I mean, they're not bad because you see everything and they're not super high up, so. Anytime we go, I always ask my dad to grab me tickets from this guy. So,
where's your favorite place to sit?
I usually sit in the loge boxes. Yeah, I have a friend that had season tickets. Yeah, on the third baseline.
I've done third base there, and then I did grandstand, like kind of above home, like last time we did that night, and then we did it.
Sorry, my first ever Red Sox game. I remember I was 8 years old and it was the Yankees Red Sox game, and we sat on the first base side, and it was me, my grandfather, who's a Yankees fan, my aunt, who's a Yankees fan.
Oh God.
My uncle, who is thankfully a Red Sox fan. And the Red Sox won. And I just remember my uncle and I were just cheering right in my grandfather's face, just like, right. Yeah. Like, you got to. And I mean, my whole mom's side of the family are Yankee fans. So I grew up, and there are all these old school Italians. They're all these big Yankee fans. And it was always a battle. It was always, Kayla, you're a Yankees fan now, right? And I'm like, nope, I'm still a Red Sox fan. And I stuck my guns my entire life.
Gosh.
And now I have a 6-year-old that I'm trying to do the same with. I'm trying to make him a avid Red Sox fan. So.
I didn't give my children a choice. They didn't have a choice.
Sometimes he jokes with me.
I will disown you. Anything else?
He'll pull my leg sometimes. He'll be like, Mama KK, I'm a Yankees fan. I'm like, heck, you are. No, you're not. Yankee fans allowed in this house.
My kids thought Yankees was a bad word for like the first whatever part of their life.
Well, it is. I mean, it is.
If they saw like a Yankee sign on a car, they'd be like, Mom, they have a cuss word on their car. Like they, you know, yeah, it was... Yeah,
you're raising those children right.
Exactly. Which now they're all grown, and that you know, like they were never like, you can date whatever fan, but you cannot date a Yankees fan. Like, and when we were at Fenway this past time, I noticed so many couples, one wearing a Yankees jersey and one wearing a Red Sox jersey, and I'm like, there's no way I can't even let a Yankee fan touch me. Like, alone, date them. No, not happening.
My favorite place to sit there, believe it or not, is actually up in the Coke seats. So you're up on that upper deck. But the cool thing about it is it is a really nice view. You can see just about everything except up against that left field wall, like in the foul zone. But the nice thing about it is it's at the end of the line up there. So you kind of have your own bathrooms, which are never crowded. You got your own concession stand.
Oh, that's cool. I've never sat up there.
Yeah, it's I would try it. And usually, unless it's like a Yankees game, the tickets are probably, I don't know, $70 or $80. So not like super expensive, but certainly not behind home plate. Have you guys ever noticed there's always a gentleman behind home plate, and he's an older guy, and he's got a white moppy hairstyle.
Mm-hmm.
You yes. guys have seen mm-hmm. him?
I have. Yeah. Yes.
His mm-hmm. I won't say his full name because I haven't gotten his permission to talk about him, but his first name's John, and I connected with him on Facebook, and for the longest time he kept trying to get me to go to a game and you know, meet him down there, and I finally did. I think it was in 2019. It was a Sunday night game on ESPN against the Dodgers, and ironically a David Price start, but and he's my least favorite Red Sox player of all time. But yeah, just a really cool guy. And you'll even, like, if the Red Sox are doing good, he'll be on the road. He'll be front and center at Yankee Stadium. And it was just such a cool, if you ever see him down there, he's the coolest dude ever. Just go say
that's
hi.
That's my dream life right there. Just to go everywhere they go. That's what I want to be when I grow up.
I actually told him, I said, John, if I said, when I die, I want to come back in my next life as you.
Yes.
He's such a cool guy. Yeah. And he's from the Midwest too. So he's got like, he almost sounds like John Candy. That's the way he comes across. But yeah, I haven't been to Fenway since right before the 2021 playoffs. And at that point, it was like a couple weeks before. We lost both games to the Yankees. One of them, I was there with Charlie, and we just got, I think Evaldi got lit up in the first inning, gave up 7 runs. We were out of it. Second game, we were ahead for the longest time. Pivetta, I thought, was going to get killed, but pitched his ass off, and it was Darwinson, of all people, that blew it. Gave up a grand slam to, who was that, Stanton, so... Just
that was what a shock. Darwinson gave up a grand slam to someone.
And he'd been pitching okay. Like, and then, but you always knew in the first at bat if he had it or not. And he was all over the place. He was in the dirt and everything. And the bases were loaded. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a wreck. And sure enough. And then that was like, it must have been the bottom or the top of the seventh, because right after that inning, everybody's souls got like sucked out of them, but we had to sing Sweet Caroline.
You know? That is rough when you're losing. Like, that is so rough.
that absolutely is. Mm-hmm. So what's a player on the team, I guess, starting with Kayla, that you're most excited about of like the new people that were signed?
Definitely Yoshida.
Yoshida?
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, just all the things you've been hearing about what kind of hitter he is and, you know, how he played in Japan. I don't know. I'm just intrigued by what he's going to be able to do. I mean, who knows? It could go either way. He could totally suck because he can't keep up with, you know, the American pitching over here, or he might not. I mean, we don't know. So I'm excited to see that. And I'm excited because I played outfield and I played left field when I was in high school. So I don't know. I'm kind of biased in that opinion in that respect, I guess. But another fun fact, I found out recently that the school that I intern at, Peter Fatsy's kids go to.
Oh.
Oh, wow.
He's the hitting coach for the Red Sox.
Yeah. So I didn't know that until my supervisor told me that one day. So
I wonder. I
never, small I never world.
Don't know who they are, but it's pretty cool. So
that is cool.
I wonder if they wear people out with that. Like, my dad's a coach on the Red Sox. Right now, that would actually probably backfire. But
yeah,
I don't think that gets you too many points this year until they prove something. So
yeah, if we're if we're good though, then they have the bragging rights. But who do you like of the new cast of characters, Janice?
I'm intrigued by Yoshida. However, I have Daisuke derangement syndrome, so any Japanese player scares the living daylights out of me, Koji aside. I'm intrigued actually by Justin Turner. I'm mm-hmm. hoping, I watch a lot of Dodgers games, and he always seems to come through with a big clutch hit. I'm hoping that a change, he's a change, quote unquote, change of scenery guy. I'm hoping that a change of scenery for him brings that back, that clutch back, because that's something that we, you know, that JD used to do, come up with a big booming double or a big booming home run. And he didn't do that at all last year. And it hurt a lot. So I'm very intrigued to see how he fits in with the Red Sox. Because he's a bit of a character too, so mm-hmm. I wonder if that will give them a little bit of a spark. Mm-hmm. Because I still feel like Devers is like still an unknown. Like there's so much raw talent there. Mm-hmm. I'm very interested in seeing how he does without Bogarts there.
I completely agree with that. Mm-hmm.
As a mentor, something else that's been in my mind. You know, as a mm-hmm. you know, like as a big brother kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Not only that, but just he'll either just kind of rise above it and go on, or it's gonna show.
Yeah,
because he wears his heart on his sleeve. He wears his heart on his sleeve. He always did. You can. It's all over his face every mm-hmm. at bat. He's very emotional. He's very. You know, he's very reactive to what's going on around mm-hmm. him. And so I feel like he can't just come to the plate and tune it out.
Mm-hmm. So, he's like childlike, but not in a negative way. Like it's mm-hmm. just, it's just, he's so like, it's like a childlike heart.
I think this will be the year that he grows up too.
He puts his whole heart into his mm-hmm. playing. He yells at himself. He hits himself. Mm-hmm. Like he's very, very invested in doing a good job, but like, I don't know which direction that will go now without, because I know that Bogarts was a big influence on him, mm-hmm. both in his play and in it personally, you know, as a mentor. So
definitely
that's another big question for me.
And Turner, really, I think he's going to be the guy hitting behind Devers. So he's got a huge responsibility.
Yes, I heard that Cora said that he is going to be most of the time hitting behind Devers. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, hopefully Casas emerges as that, you know, heart of the order guy. But the problem is he's a lefty. So it's unlikely mm-hmm. he'll ever be back to back with Devers. And Yoshida's a lefty. So mm-hmm. it's going to be interesting to see how that lineup gets worked mm-hmm. out. But mm-hmm. who do you like, Melissa?
I actually agree with both of them, because I was actually going to answer both of those, because just the excitement, the newness, and just all the everything that's gone along with hearing the news about Yoshi. It's like, okay, I want to see this, and I watched videos of him playing over there, and I'm like, okay, you know. And then I think Justin, like with Kike together, like that chemistry they have, it just adds, like she said, it like it's a spark, it's a chemistry, it adds. So I think that that's cool. But besides, of course, like besides just people we just brought on, Bayo is who I'm most excited about watching for the whole year, you know. Like that's, I just love Bayo, which I'm sad that he's not gonna be ready for opening day or whatever.
Yeah, he might miss one or two turns through the rotation by the sound of it. I feel like the one guy not enough people are talking about, and I think the lack of the guys in the rotation might be a part of it, but Kenley Jansen is our closer, and he led mm-hmm. Major League Baseball last year and saved. So, I mean, when have we ever paid for a closer? I don't think we ever have. I mean, Jonathan mm-hmm. Papelbon was homegrown. We traded for Kimbrel. But this is the first big fish we've really gone after. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess, well, we did go after some other guys, but they weren't necessarily closers. I know Andrew Bailey was a big acquisition. He kept getting hurt though. So, yeah, I mean, case in point, go back to that 2013 team. Koji was like the sixth choice. Like so many guys had to get hurt. That Joel Hanrahan, we traded for him from the Pirates.
Yeah,
he was
going to
be our closer.
I know.
Tommy John in April. Andrew Bailey got hurt again with a shoulder. Andrew Miller was like emerging as one of the next great late inning guys. Breaks his ankle. I feel like I'm missing mm-hmm. one more. And then it came down to Koji and Tozawa, who was really good that year. But Koji wanted out, and Tozawa ended up being more of the eighth inning
guy. Do you remember Tozawa's very first appearance? It was in a Yankee rout. they brought him in one night when the Yankees were killing us. It was his first appearance, just to take the pain. That was his very first. I'll never forget that.
I don't
remember
that. Oh
God, this poor guy.
Oh, that's horrible. That is horrible.
It was a long time ago. It was so bad. Oh my God. I completely forgot about Kenley, to be honest with you. That's
I forget about him too.
I forget
about it too. And then I'll hear somebody talk about it, like, oh yeah.
Yeah, but the problem is you got to get to him for him to be relevant. You know, you got to get to him with a lead. And, you know, there's a lot of skepticism, you know, about the team. I'm the only co-host of the five regular Bastards hosts that have put out a number. And I only have us winning 74 games. So Charlie will probably one-up me, I bet. But I hope I'm wrong. I was way off, obviously, in 2021 and, you know, two games from the World Series.
Yeah, that was like a weird, like, that was just.
Yeah.
Definitely couldn't have predicted that.
Right. Next to last series of the year, we're dropping it to Baltimore in these must-win games, and they're god-awful that year. And luckily, we swept the Nationals 3-0 and managed to get in. But yeah, but they definitely, I think they won, 92 games? Definitely exceeded expectations. So that's about all I have for you. Is there anything you guys any thoughts you want to get out there? Or?
Yeah, real quick, I actually just want to go back on something Janice brought up that I liked. It was about Devers and how he will be, I guess, without Xander being there. I completely agree with everything you were saying. I think it's true. I think that this is the year that he'll grow up, you know, like he doesn't have big brother around anymore, you know, and there's a lot of things out there talking about how he wants to win a gold glove and how he's putting all this work in, you know? So I think he's really trying to emerge as more of a leader and be more of a presence in the clubhouse, especially after getting the deal done that he got done. You know, that was probably something that was looming over his head for a while. So I think that that'll be a positive thing for him this year. So I'm really excited to see, I guess, how he'll develop throughout the year as well.
Well, I think the flip side to that coin is, though, now he's got the contract to live up to.
Fair
so
enough.
He has a different, I mean, I agree with you totally. I mean, I think that all those things are very valid. I mean, I think this is a kind of a turning point for him, but there's the pressure of the money. There's always pressure when you're a player. There's either the pressure to get the contract or the pressure once you get the contract.
And that's why I don't like contracts that big, though. I mean, I'm glad we have them, but I don't like, and I was talking about this with somebody the other day, I don't like 11-year contracts or contracts that large because there's just so much risk in it. And like you said, he has to live up to it.
Yeah. And so I feel like it's become the new norm now. Like that's going to be more and more.
But honestly, the risk is the risk is completely absorbed by the Red Sox, by their, you know, that he's going to get his money no matter what. But because he is so emotional and sensitive or whatever, like I feel like he probably feels it a whole lot more than other, like, for example, David Price. He's sensitive in a different way, but like, he's like, just give me my money. You know what I mean? You know, sensitive that he gets criticized when he does a bad job, whereas Rafi criticizes himself. He beats him, literally beats himself up. So, you know, there's that aspect to look at too. But there's just so many things that you just can't predict. I mean, you can't predict baseball. And this year for the Red Sox, there's just so many things you can't predict. You know, like Terry said, you have to get to Kenley before you can see what he can do for you. You know,
exactly.
you have to, Chris Sale has to be healthy and, you know, to see what he can do. And I don't know. It's like, but again, I'm going to say for some bizarre reason that I absolutely defies explanation, I'm not as negative as I start other seasons out. And I have no,
I love that so much. Like, it makes me so happy. Just the fact that you say that, like, because I've known, like, seen you, you know, like, You,
yeah, like, I mean, I
do. You are a realist. You are a realist. You
know, I'm a realist, and I'm up when they're up, and I'm down when they're down. You know, mm-hmm. it's just that's the way a ride or die fan is. And, you know, some people just don't get that, which to me mm-hmm. just translates to the fact that they don't really understand what a real fan mm-hmm. is. A real mm-hmm. fan isn't always waving the pom poms when things aren't great. They call it as mm-hmm. they see it. So. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants them to do well more than I do, because I, you know, my mood comes and goes with the Red Sox throughout my life. So they know at work when I come in the morning, if they won or they lost most of the mm-hmm. time. So, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. We'll see what happens.
Yep. We'll see.
Well, I appreciate you guys coming on with me, and maybe we could make this an annual or twice annual thing, you know, in the future.
Yeah, definitely.
I think the audience
this was fun.
Probably definitely. Enjoyed it as well. So
definitely appreciate you having us on.
Yeah,
thanks.
For sure.
Yeah. Lots of fun.
Yeah, and, you know, some of the other guys might, you know, enjoy, you know, sitting in this seat and doing it as well. But I think the audience will enjoy it. And we're 3 or 4 weeks away from opening day, and we'll see what happens. And for the listening audience, we'll probably be back on Sunday to discuss any more developments. We'll probably have some injury updates. And what have you. So everyone have a good rest of your week, and a great weekend as well. Take care.
All right. At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, and Emory Education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses, or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year. For $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.